Hey guys, it's Eric G from Around the House Show. Is your barbecue just barely holding on and you need to upgrade it? We got you covered. Monument Grills was founded by three good friends in Atlanta, Georgia, that wanted high-quality, durable grills inspired by iconic monuments. The grills are created for the person who loves to cook and are built to last and to enhance your outdoor cooking experience. What I love is that they are the best quality grills for under $900. So check out the American Gas Grill Experts at monumentgrills.com. I bet you'll love to cook on one like I do. Check out the new standard in outdoor cooking at monumentgrills.com.
Now that is a tasty burger. Get your next barbecue at monumentgrills.com.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT and Leanne After Hours, the conversation that continued after the show was done.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Hey everybody, welcome to After Hours here in the Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne and David Stidham today from Compart Duroc. This is the part where we torture David for a few minutes here, and it'll be fun though. So David, are you ready? I can't even find my script today. That's how screwed up my last week has been. But I know,
because this is all uncharted territory for me. I had no idea there was a grilling going to happen here.
Yeah, it's not bad. But I think I wrote most of those, so I think I can remember most of them.
You can.
Anyway, so let's start with the first one, the easy one. If you could cook for and then dine with a historical figure, who would it be and what would be on the menu?
Oh, wow. You guys aren't playing around, are you?
The person can be alive or not, so that might broaden your selection.
Yeah, with AI, we can do anything anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Well, that's true. That's true. I immediately went to historical. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm a big football fan.
There you go.
And so I would love to tailgate and cook barbecue for the 72 Super Bowl champion Dolphins, Miami Dolphins.
Ah.
There you go.
With Bob Greasy and Don Shula and all those guys. Oh, yeah. That was my first love of football when my dad we lived in South Florida. And so I've been a Dolphin fan ever since. And so to be able to do something with a team that's never been replicated, undefeated season, and that would be a lot of fun.
I think you'd have to cook a lot for those boys.
What would you make them? What would you make them?
Oh, it's gonna be you know, pulled pork and ribs and the kind of stuff that we cook now, you know.
Mm-hmm. And the new hot dogs, the new sausage.
Well, I don't think anybody knew what Wagyu was back in 1972.
If Leanne made you supreme ruler of barbecue for one day, just one day, David. And what would you decree as supreme ruler? And everybody had to adhere to it.
Oh, my God. You guys.
You must use Compart Duroc.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously, if you want the best, you know, cook the best, but that's a scapegoat.
Well, when you were competing, there's always something along the competition trail that kind of bugs you in the rules, you know, like, gosh, you know, why can't I use this as garnish, or why can't I use...
Or why do I have to build a parsley box?
Yeah. Right. So if it's something a gripe, that works.
If it was a competition barbecue thing, because I did a lot, and I think you did a little bit of this yourself, mm-hmm. Leanne. I did a lot of solo cooks,
mm-hmm.
and the last thing I wanted to do was be up all night creating a perfect parsley box, and then I look at what other sanctions are doing with this, putting on aluminum foil. Or putting in a disc, and like the steak guys are doing.
Right.
Yeah. I would have loved to have been able to just put in a beautiful box of meat without having it under a bed of greens.
Right.
And so thanks for the
garnish free for a day.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, there's one competition where I did it. I put a little bit just for traction, but you couldn't really see it. And I built my pork box just so big, and it was almost like a Memphis and May box. Mm. And I actually won pork that day.
There you go.
And everybody's looking at my box saying, "Oh my God, you didn't do the garnish." I said, "Actually, there's a tiny little bit down there, but you can't really see it." Mm-hmm. But that surprised me because I did it that way. And I just had too much good meat. I was putting it all in there. I was going to fill that box up.
It was a good day.
Yeah, it was. But
David, do you think
everybody had to follow the same suit that everybody else had to do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you think this is always a thing that, talking about the garnish and stuff. Personally, now I didn't hit the competition trail like you guys did. Okay. I did other things, but I've never seen the real significance except keeping the parsley people in business that the parsley adds. I mean, yeah, it's an offset in color and all that, but I'm kind of with you, David. I would rather just see a box full of beautiful meat, nice, you know, sliced or whatever it is, and there it is. I think,
right.
You know,
and don't get me wrong, Jeff, the parsley does add, it adds value, and that's why you see it in butcher shops and stuff like that. But when you're by yourself, or you know, when your time and your energy is focused on putting the best product out there as possible, why are you spending an hour, 2 hours of that precious time creating that kind of box? And that just, it was just one little thing for me. And then you have to put the wet paper towels on it. You have to put it in a cool place. And there are all the different things you have to do to make sure that when you put you have to lay the paper towels on the corners and the edges when you put your meat in, and then you have to wipe them off. And it was just, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, the amount of, but you know what? Some people say, hey, that's part of it. And so, and I got it, but I loved when I was able to do competitions, outside of KCBS, where we could not have to worry about that and just be mm-hmm. judged on our flavor and the tenderness and the taste of the mm-hmm. the meat we produce that we spend all our true energy on.
Well, I'll tell you when it came into mind about, we'll get off the parsley in a minute, folks. But when we were at the Jack, 2 years ago, Leanne, like that, you were judging and I was just annoying people. Mm-hmm. But I went by one of the teams from Texas. And they had a beautiful big rig and a couple rigs, actually, and, you know, great equipment there. There's four guys sitting at a table with two huge boxes of parsley, literally taking them out and seeing, well, this is a good one. That's
tweezers.
Yeah, like that. And I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I literally would go to the back of the aisle. I would go to the produce aisle and say, hey, look, can I go back and look at your parsley? And I would literally buy four bags of parsley because I want it to be the fluffy parsley, not the leafy parsley. And then you got to separate it. And it was like, oh, God, I think we've already beat parsley to death here. So,
yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine. So did you ever have to cook in your underwear in the snow or rain at a competition? Or even at home for that matter?
I had it on, but not just that on.
That's good.
What's the worst place you ever had to cook?
I cooked a competition in Warrenton, Wisconsin, and this is my first year. And as a matter of fact, the Shiggin and Grinning guys were there, and I've gone by myself. I think I had one of my sons with me, and he stayed in the car. This is when I had a tent, and I didn't really have a trailer. I had my truck. I had my tent. Anyway. I had this big tent up, and it was raining so hard over my grills, my smokers, that I was literally a broom handle doing like this, mm-hmm. taking the water off so they don't collapse. Yeah. And I had to do that all night long, mm-hmm. and it was miserable. And that's when I realized, I said, these guys have trailers for a reason, mm-hmm. and I got to step my game up because it was rough. I mean, it was real rough. And the Shiggin and Grinning guys, they're hilarious because they came over and they're talking to me, and this is only like my third competition ever. And of course, you know, everyone's got a drink in their hand and it's like midnight. And so we just had a good time and talked and all that. And they did really well. And I don't think I got a call that day. That was a mess.
So, David, what's the best and worst, two different ones, concert you ever saw?
Oh, wow. Best? My best concert I ever saw was Queen, when they had Freddie Mercury.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. And that's a close to, and you're going to laugh when I say this one, but my dad, when I was young, I was like 11, and he took my brother, who was 12, and I was 11, and we were in Memphis, and he took us to go see Kiss.
I love Kiss. Yeah.
And they Kiss still was amazing. And I had the posters everywhere, but here's the cool part about that concert. It was the year that AC/DC came to the United States, and AC/DC warmed up for Kiss.
Oh my God,
and it was like their third show in the United States, and they rocked it. And so I saw AC/DC and Kiss, and then I also, a few years later, I saw Billy Squire and Queen, and those were my best two. Worst? I would say it was a Molly Hatchet Blackfoot show.
It was
terrible. I mean, I like both those guys, but for some reason there was all kinds of problems going on, and it was like the sound issues, and probably I don't remember a lot of it because I was hammered, but if I had to pick a worst, that would be it.
Yeah. A few of those I vaguely remember.
Right.
Dave Mason and the Doobie Brothers and somebody else in Santa Barbara one time. And after like the third song, I don't remember much.
There's some different reasons for that, right?
There's different reasons for that. Yeah. Like, oh my goodness. Ford, Chevy, or Dodge?
Depends on what you're buying. If it's a truck, it's Ford.
It's truck. Yeah.
Yeah. Ford.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Last
or
question.
GMC.
Last question, David. What would your last meal be if you were on death row? You don't have to worry about calories, that's for sure.
No. You know what? It'd probably be a Wagyu cowboy ribeye with lobster tails and some scallops and baked potato loaded down. Glass of wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that sound?
Yeah, any dessert?
Maybe a chocolate lava cake. I like the chocolate.
Leanne makes a pretty mean pecan pie, too. I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. I do love pecan pie. Yeah. Oh, my God. I should have given it a little bit more thought.
Well, throw one of those in.
Yeah, just for the heck of it. David Stidham, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Thank you, guys. I'm so grateful that you guys thought I would still be a good guest. That's been a long time.
Absolutely.
So, and don't forget, you can go to the Compart Duroc website. You can order some stuff there if you want, if they're not local in your area. So David will make sure they take care of you there.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back next week with another edition of After Hours. So for Leanne and myself, thank you for listening. And remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.